Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
This morning, we want to give an award to the people that have traveled the furthest to come to church. It's our missionaries. They're all the way from Botswana, South Africa. And this couple's very, very special to Rebecca and I. We've known them for over 20 years. We pastored with them in Iowa. They were at a church about 90 miles away from the church when we were in Iowa. And God called them to the mission field about the same time God called us here to Wyoming. And it is just a joy to have Bob and Barb Van Wyk with us. They have a powerful ministry to children. You may remember we've shared reports in the past about GEMS, the ministry that goes into the schools in Botswana, sharing the gospel and Christian principles. And God is saving teachers, students. He's transforming lives. And the Van Wyks are going to come and share just what God has been doing over the past 13 years in Botswana. And I'm happy to say that we as a church support them, all right? So these are one of our missionaries that we support. Can you give a warm Wyoming Radius welcome to the Van Wyks today?
Bless you, Bob.
Thank you so much.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rialo de Medisa ke liana lele matla la Jesu Christi. We greet you in the mighty, powerful name of King Jesus. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. No one like him, no one greater than him, no one even equal to him. He's far above. And what a joy it is for us to carry this gospel to the country of our calling, which is in Botswana, right above South Africa. And wow, what a journey it's been. I want to call your attention first to our prayer card. Make sure that you get one on the way out. And you know what to do with these, right? Put it in your Bible or on your fridge, whatever you open most often. And pray for us. Pray for us as the Spirit leads you. And we'll give you some specific prayer points this morning. But when you look over on the back side, you can advance to that next slide. When you pray for missionaries, pray for our family. Because even though our kids are now grown, when they are thriving, we are thriving. If they're over here in America, 8,000 miles away from us, and they're struggling, it's hard for parents to stay focused, right? So pray for our kids. Austin and Jamie, he's our oldest. Austin over on the right, he and Jamie have been married almost 3 years, and he just took a full-time firefighter paramedic job in the Des Moines area of Iowa, not too far from us. We're thankful to have him a little closer. And then Stephanie is going to be 25 in a couple weeks, and she's starting a master's degree at Southern Missouri University in writing. And then our son Cameron, our youngest, he just finished his second year. He's the guy there with sporting the Jesus hair because he took a look at his dad's hair don't. If you see my honey, raise your hand. He took a look at his hair don't, and he said, Dad, I've only got a few years to have hair, so I'm going to get some hair, have some hair while I can have it. So he's sporting the Jesus hair, and he is finished his second year at Southwestern Assemblies of God University in Waxahachie, Texas, and he is pursuing a psychology degree because he feels the calling and the burden to work with missionary families, missionary kids and their parents so that they can thrive as a family unit while they're growing up overseas. So we just covet your prayers for our kids. Cam's headed to Thailand on Wednesday to work with missionary kids there. While their parents are in meetings, he's going to be helping care for the missionary kids. So say a prayer for Cam. Safe travels and meaningful ministry among those kids as they gather together. Well, when we landed in Botswana in 2010, you can go to that next slide, our kids were just 8 years old, 11 years old, and 15, and we landed, and we were on a mission from God to go to Botswana and to train pastors and leaders, but we did not know the card that God had up his divine sleeve that he pulled on us when we got on the ground. He has all authority to do whatever he wants to do, right? We serve at his pleasure, however he wants us to serve. And he had in mind for us that, yes, in fact, we're going to train pastors and leaders, but specifically for the work of making disciples of the children. Children's ministry. Ha! If he would have told us that before we went, we probably would not have gone. Because we never saw ourselves in that role. We've never been kids pastors even in America. How could we go be missionaries to children in Africa? We don't know God. We don't know how to do that. Don't worry. He always equips the called. And when he made it so obvious to us that this was the lane he wanted us to run in, he brought the equipping. And we still learn. It's on-the-job training, right? You never know it all. You're always learning, right, Pastor Craig? We're still learning. Whatever you're doing, you're still learning. We're still growing. So we started to reach out to kids and to train them. We do that in two ways. And God has put a passion in our hearts to see a kid-friendly church within walking distance of every child in Botswana. Kid-friendly church. It speaks the language of children. You know what that is? Fun. You got to have fun with kids. If you have fun, they're with you, and they learn what you're sharing, and they put it in their hearts. So in the next slide, we come alongside churches, pastors, to train Sunday school teachers in the local congregation. We bring a contextualized Sunday school curriculum that's available to them just at the cost of printing it. We train them how to use it. And then we turn them loose to train and disciple the children that are already within the four walls of the church on a Sunday morning. But how many of you know most children are not in church on a Sunday morning? Not hard to imagine, isn't it? Same here in the U.S., same thing in Botswana. But you know what? Most every kid is in school Monday through Friday. And God gave us this amazing opportunity to reach kids in the public schools. That next slide, gospel evangelistic ministry in the schools. God put this on our hearts in 2014, and we began to go to schools and each week share 10 minutes a week. That's what we get, 10 minutes a week. We said, God, what can we do in 10 minutes a week? That's hardly anything. He said, trust me. Take what I've put in your hand. And so my husband, whose first career was as an elementary education, he taught school for 20 years, fifth and sixth grade, and then he pastored in this beautiful convergence that God has us doing in Botswana in the public schools. We wrote a three-year curriculum, 10-minute lessons for kids. We speak to thousands of kids every week. For the past 6 years, it's been 6,000 kids a week. 6,000 kids get to hear about Jesus. And we go in there, in those 10 minutes, we tell them a Bible story in a fun, creative way involving them in what we're doing. And then we say, all right, boys and girls, why did we tell you this story today? How does it apply to you right here at school? How does Jesus want you to be? And how does it apply in your home? And how about in your village, in your community, and as a citizen of Botswana, how does God want you to be? We apply it to their lives. And then it's time to pray. And all 1,000 kids, usually it's about 1,000 kids standing in front of us at a time, bow their heads and we pray and we speak Jesus. Say, God, would you come and just help the children take what we just taught them in their minds and put it in their hearts and let them truly live for you. And let me tell you, the results are transformational. We are seeing lives transformed. We don't often, speaking to that many children every week, you don't get to hear all the things that God is doing, but God gave us a glimpse into a couple lives that have been transformed. One of them is Vanessa. You'll see her here on this slide. Little girl in the middle. She's 12 years old. Last summer, she was 12 years old, and she shared this testimony with us 1 year ago. It was the end of June last year when we met her. But she had known us for a couple years prior to that because she had been with us at a primary school in Botswana. Do you see that slide, that previous one there, Tina, where all the kids were standing in front? Yes, this is a school assembly in process. This is Botsalano Primary School where Vanessa was a student. And one day when my husband was there teaching the kids at Botsalano, he was talking about Jonah. And she heard about Jonah and how he ran away from God. And she said, I don't want to be a Jonah. I don't want to run away from God. So when Bob prayed for the kids to accept Christ, make him Lord of their life, she said, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And she was born again. And we always teach the boys and girls that you can talk to God anytime about anything, anywhere. If it matters to you, it matters to God. And she had a problem. And that problem was her mama was a single mama with several children, no daddy around. And she had no job. Unemployment is really high in Botswana. And she never knew. They never knew where their next meal was coming from or any of the basic provisions. And she thought, but I could ask God. So she said, I got down on my knees in a room in my house at noon on a Tuesday. I said, God, my mom needs a job. Will you please give my mom a job? And then she waited 4 hours. The phone rang. It was a guy saying, hey, I have a business out in a village. I need someone to work for me full time. Would you be willing to work for me full time? And by the way, I have a house that you and your whole family can live in right there. Right there. Right where the factory is. And Vanessa knew right then and there that God had heard her prayer and given her mom a job. So Vanessa had been saved. Now they were going to be delivered out of that poverty. But God wasn't done. He's just getting started. So last summer, we had a chance to be in Vanessa's village because they had to move, you see, from the Botsolano, which was near us. For 6 years, we've been working in just six schools as we're training leaders, trying to get this vision to catch hold, trying to get the National Church to step up and just go into the schools. The fields are ripe unto harvest. We train hundreds of people, but getting them mobilized isn't as easy as it sounds, Pastor. Getting people out into the schools. Okay, so we just kept praying and praying and working and working. And so we're in six schools. Five of them were just right around the capital city where we live. We're only in one village of the thousands of villages. But you know what village that happened to be? The one where Vanessa moved. Yeah. And the school, there's two schools in that village. And which one school do we work in? Yes, the one that Vanessa just happened to go to. So she got to continue to see Pastor Bob bring the stories about Jesus every Friday. And so last year, we knew we were going to be in their village partnering with the Assembly of God Church there to do a kids' crusade, kids' meetings. We put up the tent, bring all the fun, do programs just for kids, introduce them to Jesus as Savior, teach them how to pray, and then baptism of the Holy Spirit, be filled with His power, and see the Holy Spirit come and settle on those gatherings of hundreds of children at a time. It's awesome. Awesome. So we hand out a flyer at school to all the kids know when and where to come for these meetings. Vanessa got herself to that tent. But it wasn't easy for her because in April of last year, she went playing with her friends, very active kid, climbing trees. She fell out of the tree. She landed on her right side in a way that messed up her knee and her hip. And they'd done all medically for her that they could. And she'd gone from being an active kid to a homebound kid. So much pain and not knowing what to do, but she wanted to be at that tent for those services. So she walked from wherever she lives to the tent. And we came to the end of that first service on Friday afternoon, and I went to the piano and was just playing and just leading the kids in the presence of Jesus, probably singing something very basic like, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the presence of Jesus, just come and fill that tent. I felt the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. He said, ask if anybody needs healing. Anybody sick? We had never done with this with kids before. God is leading us into using the gifts among the children. Imagine, He wants to pour out all that He has, even for boys and girls. And I says, anybody sick? And waited for a few minutes. Nobody moved. But then from the back, we saw this little girl come. And we had not met her up to this point. We did not know her story. She came, stood right in front of the piano, asked our team to come along and just lay hands on her, begin to pray. Next day, she comes back, and she was so excited. She said, you know what? The minute they laid their hands on me, all the pain left my body. She said, but I didn't want to say anything because I was afraid it wouldn't last. But I went home, and I told my mom what happened. I said, Mom, look. Look, Mom, the pain's all gone. Jesus healed me. And the mama looked at her, and she said, we're going to go to that church. Hallelujah. Through 10 minutes a week, the gospel, Vanessa was saved. Family was delivered out of poverty. She was healed. I said, Vanessa, is there anything else you want to share with us? As we were just hearing this testimony from her, she looked right at my husband. She said, Pastor Bob, I don't know why you would leave America and come to Botswana. And I don't know why you would leave the city and come to my school in my village and tell us about Jesus. But I'm so glad you did. Oh, we're so glad. We're so glad that You guys send us. That's the only way we get to do this, is the body of Christ working together. Come together. You pray, you give, we go, and God is transforming lives. But now we can't do this thing ourselves. This is way bigger than us. There's 500 million children on the continent of Africa, 750,000 in Botswana. This takes a lot of people to reach them. We've been praying for 6 years that God would raise up a national brother or sister who could lead this ministry. Because as missionaries, we could have be gone at any time. You never know. We need God to get this in the heart of someone there. Last year, God answered our prayers and raised up this brother right here, Mr. Ohona Shoswane. He's a transformational leader in Botswana. He represents Botswana internationally in the financial sector, travels to the nations on behalf of the government, but he's also a member of the Assemblies of God Church and a leader of the Assemblies of God of Botswana. And God has put a fire in his heart to see every kid in every primary school in Botswana know the power of Jesus. And so we are with him in January. He asked us, would you please ask the church to pray for us? Because you know what? Last year, the Holy Spirit moved and we went from just 6 schools to 23 schools in 8 weeks' time. We went from reaching just 6,000 children a week to like 15,000 to 20,000 kids a week. Hallelujah. That happened last year. And Mr. Shoswane said, would you ask the church in America to pray? So when you have this prayer card and you're praying, you pray for us and pray for our kids. He said, would you pray that we will double the number of schools from 23 to 50 by the end of this year, December 2023. And then after that, every year, as if we double every year, we'll be in all 805 primary schools by 2027. With 750,000 children hearing the good news, the transformational news of the gospel every single week. And God is doing it. If you advance to those next few slides, Tina, you'll see in the next one, and the next one, he's done it. We trained him in how to do the trainings for GEMS. He's training. Guys, yesterday at the restaurant, we had breakfast with our son before we took him to the airport to fly back. And we wept together as Mr. Oji sent us texts. They just had a training yesterday. They trained about 24 more people. There were like 10 pastors who came. And when a pastor catches the vision, guys, this goes all over. And we are just so excited for what Jesus is doing and the people that he is reaching because we've partnered together. We've heard the call. We said, yes, we're willing to go. God, we just need people to send us. You guys have been part of that team for a lot of years now, and we thank you. Thank you for standing strong. Jesus gets the victory. He's on the move. It's an exciting time to be living and serving our King because great, great things are happening. Thank you so much.
Good morning. It's so great to be with you and so great to see Craig and Rebecca again. It's been so long. So thank you so much for allowing us to come and be a part of this morning's service. What an honor it is for us. And to see our partners here in Casper. God is so good. Barbara's given you just what the Holy Spirit is doing and he's stirring in this country. And this is so important because, as she said, the need in Africa, as it is around the world, as it is here, even in the U.S., is great. It is great. But let me just put it in perspective a little bit, what we have going on in Africa alone. In Africa, we have almost 1 billion people on the continent right now. Almost 1 billion people. Now, this container contains Cheerios, chocolate and strawberry Cheerios. And you'll see the chocolate on the top. That's going to be all the adults in Botswana. All the adults in Africa. The bottom part, the strawberry part, that's going to be all the children 15 and under. And you see how it looks like it's half and half? It's because it's half and half. Now, let's put this in a little bit more perspective. The United States right now has about 330 million people. Africa has 1 billion. So we're about a third of the size of the entire population of Africa. 500 million, as my wife already said, are children under the age of 15. That's about 1.5 the population of America. The need is great. The need is great. In Botswana, in Africa, if we take those 500 million people, most of you will not be able to see that right across the top here, there's a very, very thin little strip of brown. And that represents the people, the missionaries that are there trying to reach the children. In Assemblies of God, we have 370 missionaries on the continent of Africa today. But there are only 37 of us. My wife and I are two, trying to reach 500 million children. Countries are begging us. Countries are begging us. We need children's missionaries. Will you send them? The work is great. The fields are white unto harvest. We pray to the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers for the harvest field. If the Holy Spirit stirs your heart today, it doesn't have to necessarily be for children, but we would love it if it was, or if it is. Talk to my wife and I. We can help you start your journey to answer the call if the Holy Spirit tugs on your heart today. We need missionaries. Oh, we need our lights to shine here. There's no doubt about that. But we also need people to answer the call. The need is great. The Holy Spirit continues to call, and even in this hour, I shared just briefly with the worship team, with Pastor in the office as we're praying for the service today. Jesus' call is still going out. It's still going out for his disciples, those of us that follow Christ, those of us that follow the Lord. His call is still there, where he says in Mark chapter 16, we find this several places in the Gospels, but in Mark 16 today, starting in verse 15, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed." First of all, Jesus says, go. He says, go. What does that mean? That means wherever we find ourselves, that's our go. That's our go. For my wife and I, because the Holy Spirit called us and specifically said, go to Africa, our go is Africa. But prior to him opening those doors, our go is where we found ourselves in Iowa, where we pastored the church in Spencer. Even prior to that, my goal was shining his light as a sixth grade teacher for 20 years. It's wherever we find ourselves, that's our goal, isn't it? Representing him, living for him, testifying to the hope that is within us, that of the life that he has given us. And he says, bring this to everyone. To everyone. And then he says, anyone who believes and is baptized, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Many times we will look at people and we'll see the exterior, we'll judge them, and that will determine maybe if I'll talk to them, maybe if I'll interact with them, maybe I'll engage. But God looks on the heart and he sees a valuable life, because the scriptures tell us so easily Genesis 1, Genesis 2, it starts that foundational truth. We are made in God's image. Every person made in God's image. Every person. There's no mistake in the life that Christ gives. Man can say, oh, this was a mistake, this was an accident, but God says, no, that is life, that is precious to me. You are made in my image. So even you sitting here today, every time you are looking in the mirror, every time, you're seeing a part of God. Do you know that? Every time, young, old, we are all made in the image of God, and that has great value. Someone needs to hear that today. You have great value to God. His Spirit, His presence is here today to minister His life to you because there are no mistakes. It doesn't matter what man has said. It doesn't matter what somebody has spoken over you that was a curse, that tried to rob you of your life. You are made in God's image. And His life is for you. His life is for you. He loves you. He loves you. And when we accept His life, and when we start following in obedience, that's what it means when it says anyone who believes and is baptized. That means following now, accepting Him and following in how He asks us to live. In obedience to that, they will be saved. They will be saved. He's not saying, no, you got to be such a social economic status. You got to identify this way. You've got to look this way. You've got to be the... Believe and follow my commands, and you will be saved. Anyone. 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 But He doesn't leave us powerless. When we're giving this message, when we're sharing, He gives us the power to live. He says, these miraculous signs will accompany. Will accompany. He's not saying during certain seasons, only by the right people, only by, no, He says these signs are going to happen. They're going to follow those who believe. And what are those miraculous signs? What is that power He gives us? First of all, we have power over the demonic realm. The demonic realm has there's no fear here because the demonic realm can't touch His power. Jesus already defeated Satan on the cross. He rose again the third day. There's no power in heaven or hell that can overcome Him. His power far exceeds anything else. Do not live in fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound thinking. And then He continues on. He says that not only will they cast out demons in my name, they'll be able to handle snakes with safety. Well, what does that mean? That doesn't mean we're going to become snake handlers. But what He is saying is that when threats come to us from the outside, when there is a dangerous threat that could, in the eyes of this world, could kill me, could take my life. He's saying, no, you're going to be able to handle those situations with safety because my Spirit is in you. My Spirit flows through you. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we don't have to fear those threats from the outside, those snakes that try to come in and take away our lives. And then He says, if you drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt you. What's that talking about? That's talking about the things that try to rise up on the inside. Have you noticed how much fear, anxiety, and dread is in the world today? Anxiety is through the roof. It's incredible. But Jesus said, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Every day has enough. And so as we live for Him day by day, His peace is in our hearts. It stays within us. And those things that try to eat us from the inside out cannot consume us. those things, those worries that try to play around in our minds. No, His truth overcomes all. His truth, because His truth exceeds this world. It's out of this world. And because of that, it brings us peace. Hallelujah. And then finally, he says, you'll be able to place your hands on the sick and they will be healed. They will be healed. They will be healed. Sometimes we get lulled into a sense, well, you know, God doesn't heal everyone, and so I guess it's just God's will. You know what? We need to come expecting every time we pray, knowing that God can heal. Knowing that God can heal. I have a pastor friend in Iowa. This happened just a couple months ago. He told me about it. He says, Baba, he said, there is a man in my church, he was filled with cancer. And finally, the doctors had given up. They said, there's nothing more we can do. They put him on hospice. And you know what hospice is? It's just days, maybe weeks, that you have left to live, and that's it. This pastor had a doctor on his board, and his doctor came to him and said, Pastor, you better get ready for a funeral. There's nothing more that can be done. Well, that was the world's diagnosis. Now, I'm not dissing this doctor. He was doing what he had to do, but one more time, he asked for prayer. The elders of the church gathered together, went to this man, they prayed, and they laid hands on him. Literally days before death, on hospice with no earthly hope, God raised him up. Today, there's no cancer in his body. Today, there's no disease there. He's not on hospice, obviously. Now he's free to live. Because Jesus healed him, we saw that in one of our services a couple months ago. There's a lady about the third row back. We gathered together, asked for prayer. And I said, if you want prayer today for healing, stand to your feet. Several people stood to their feet. This old lady that had come in with a walker was moaning and groaning so loudly, I felt bad. I said, no, if you can't stand up, don't stand up, please. I don't want you in any more pain. She says, I'm standing up. She stood up. We started to pray. I said, church, let's be the church. Let's gather around these. And we started praying. And in the middle of people praying for her, all of a sudden, she lifts her leg. And she gets excited. She says, the pain in my knee, the pain in my hip, it's gone. It's gone. And God healed her right there. She picked up her walker and she walked right out. God is still healing people today. And we need to continue to boost and build our faith that God is there. If you have given up on prayer for healing, don't give up. Start again today. Start again today. In 2019, I was substitute teaching one of our Bible school classes in Botswana. And in through the door came a student. He walked right up to me. And he said to me, Pastor Bob, do you remember me? I don't remember you. You're gonna have to help me. He says, well, do you still go to the primary schools? Do you still tell the kids about Jesus? I said, yeah. Still do that. Every morning I'm there. He said, well, you don't remember me, but I want to tell you my story. You can go to the next slide. He said, in 2014, when you began at our school, and that was the school you saw earlier on the slide, and this is the teacher, Tamello, he said, I was a teacher at that school, and I was the one that made sure all the students were lined up when you came for your 10-minute lesson. He said, I had a 7-year-old son. He was in second grade, and what you didn't know about me was that I was a drunk. So what I would do is I would go to, I would bring my seven-year-old boy to second grade. I'd drop him off. I'd go to my fifth grade classroom. I'd teach, pick him up at the end of the day. I'd bring my boy home. Then I'd go to the bar and get drunk. And that was my pattern. You started bringing those Bible stories. And my little boy, my seven-year-old son, he fell in love with those stories. He would come home at the end of those days, and he had run up to his mother and myself, and he would say, "Mommy, Daddy, get out the Bible. I need to hear more Bible stories. I love these stories. Read me more." And they would. 2 months pass. It's August 2014. It's Friday night. He knows the date well. It was August 22nd. He said, "I came home from the bar that night drunk as usual. But when I walked through the door and opened it up, there was my family standing by the door." I said, "The Assembly of God Church down the road, they're having a crusade. We want to go to the crusade. Would you bring us?" Tamela said, "Well, I was drunk, but I thought, well, I'll help my family out." So he puts them in the car, and they're going on the way to the crusade. And on the way, the seven-year-old boy turns to his father. He says, "Daddy, you need to stop drinking. Dad, do you understand the pain that we're experiencing because of what you do?" And he starts talking to him about the lack of finances, the lack of presence of a father, the hurts and the heartache that the family is experiencing, all from a seven-year-old son. And they come to the church, and Tamela says, "I parked outside the gate of the church. I wasn't going in. I'd purchased more alcohol. I was going back to the bar." But now the seven-year-old son's pleas turn to sobs. His shoulders are shaking. The tears are just pouring down his face. And he's trying to relate through all of this, the brokenness that they're experiencing as a family, that he's experiencing as a boy. And Tamela says, I couldn't believe, even though I was drunk, I was causing that kind of pain for my son. What kind of father am I?" He said, "I picked him up and carried him into the church and sat on the back pew because I smelled like alcohol. Holy Spirit didn't care." Tamela got saved that night. Tamela said, "I went home that night. I stayed up all night thinking about the decisions that I had made in my life. Thinking about the decision I made that night." Said, "I got up the next morning and went to my car, poured out all my alcohol. He hasn't had a drop since." Started leading his family to church. Church gathers around them, embraces him. They help the family, and they're restoring and renewing this family. Pastor takes Tamela under his wing and discipling and mentoring him. And within a couple short years, Tamela becomes a leader in the church. He's part of the board. In 2018, as he's continuing his walk with Jesus and leading his family, and Holy Spirit starts talking to him and gives him a different message. He says, "Tamela, I want you to be my pastor." That's what he was doing in my class in 2019. December 10th, 2022, Tamela walked the line. Tamela is an Assemblies of God pastor today in Botswana. started with a 7-year-old boy who heard the gospel, accepted Jesus Christ in his heart. Just a 10-minute little lesson a week transformed a family. Saved, delivered, healed. The power of the gospel. Never underestimate the power of the gospel. It changes hearts, it changes lives. These are just a couple of the stories that we know about. But his word never comes back void. What about you? What about you today? Is the Holy Spirit ministering to you here today? Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him? He loves you. You're made in his image. And you haven't accepted him. You're not here by mistake today. It's because God wants you to know his love. He wants you to experience his life. And it comes when we say, Jesus, I've done things that are a mistake. I've done things that are wrong. But I believe that you died for my sins. And we commit ourselves to live for him. Follow his commands, and he gives us life that this world can never take away. He gives us peace and hope and joy in the midst of times that seem so uncertain. But his truth is, because it's him, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no one like God. You're made in his image. And he loves you. It's up to us whether we accept that love and reciprocate that love or not. He gives us that choice. But for all who accept it, he gives us right to become the children of God. Life now and for eternity with him. Do you have that life? Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Be set free of those things that control. And find the freedom of living for Christ. If that's you today, you'll have that opportunity in just a moment. God loves you. Let's say that prayer right now. Jesus, I want to thank you for these men and women that are here today, the boys and the girls, young people. Each one is made in your image. Each one is made in your likeness. And I don't know every heart that's in this room today. But it's possible that there's someone here today that has not received your life and received your love. But Father, they're tired. The burden of their sin, the burden of going their own way they just know it's the right thing to do. But if you're here today and you want to receive Jesus, I'm going to ask you, just heads are bowed, eyes are closed, we're going to stay that way. But your response today is to the Lord. Your response today is to God himself, the one who offers you life, the one in whose image you've been made. And if you want to receive that life today, your response to him is to lift your hand to him. By lifting your hand, you're saying, God, I'm reaching out to you. I want to receive your life. I am sorry for my sins. If that's you today, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But raise your hand to him right now. Yes. 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 There's hands across this room. It's not too late. Raise your hand to him now if you need his life, you need his love. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. We're going to say this prayer together, but those of you that raised your hands, say it to the Lord from your heart. He hears it when it comes from the heart. Let's say this together. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I'm a sinner. I have done wrong. I'm sorry. But I believe that you died and rose again for my sin. Come into my heart. I choose right now to live for you for the rest of my life. Help me to do that. Help me to live for you. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you for anyone that prayed this prayer from their heart today. I thank you that you heard that prayer. The old is gone, the new has come. The sin is removed. And now there is rejoicing in heaven because of these, Father, that have accepted you. Bless them and encourage them with the power of your love. And thank you that new life is theirs. And Father, I want to pray for anyone today. I pray for anyone today that whenever they have looked in the mirror, Father, the curses that have been spoken over them in their life, that's what they see. They've heard the words, you'll never amount to anything. You're always a failure. You'll never measure up. You could never possibly do that. Those curses that are spoken that are not from you have inhibited the life that you want us to experience as your sons and as your daughters. Because with you, all things are possible. You look at us and you see us as your masterpieces. This morning, you want to set some people free from those curses that have been, it's like a weight that's been on your shoulders all of your life. And today, Jesus is going to set you free. He's going to set you free. So if that's you today, heads remain bowed, eyes closed. This is just between you and the Lord. The Spirit is doing his work here. If you are here today and you've had those curses spoken over you, you have believed them, and you know who I'm speaking to. This is the Spirit ministering to you right now. If that's you, your response, you are a son or a daughter of Jesus. Jesus wants to set you free from those lies. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. I'm not going to ask you to come. I just want you to stand to your feet. If you've had those curses, stand to your feet right now. Right now. Jesus wants to set you free. Yes. Yes. That's right. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Nobody's standing in judgment. No one. This is the body of Christ. This is the love of God. This is his truth. This is his truth. Now, by the blood of Jesus, for every person that is standing here now, you are set free from the curses of man that have been spoken over you. Whether it was from a parent, whether it was from a son or a daughter, from an uncle or an aunt, or a significant person in your life, by the blood of Jesus, you are set free. And those who the Son sets free are free indeed. We break those lies off of you. We break those. And now the things that are true are released in your life. They are released in your life. You are a masterpiece, holy and dearly loved, a son and a daughter of the Lord God Almighty, in his kingdom through Jesus Christ, your Savior. He loves you. Be free. Those thoughts, those ways of thinking in your mind that used to dog you and play over and over again. I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. I can't do that. They are gone by the blood of Jesus Christ. And they are replaced now with the truth of God. A masterpiece of Jesus. Once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. A priesthood, a royal nation, holy and dearly loved. Sons and daughters of the King, you are free. Father, fill them with peace. Fill them with joy. An unspeakable joy. And Father, as they live their lives, may they live in confidence, may they live in hope, may they live, Father, knowing that greater is He that is in them, that nothing is impossible for you. Flowing through each one in greater power and authority. As you have broken chains this morning, walls have come down, right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you, Father, for setting them free. If there's anyone here this morning, you either have pain in your body or you have sickness. Once again, I'm going to ask you to stand. Stand to your feet. The healer is here. The healer is in this room. And we're not giving up. He's on the move. Jesus is on the move. And he wants to touch lives. He is still in the healing business today. Church, look around. Let's be the church. Let's intercede for our brothers and sisters here. Let's move. Let's move. I'm giving you the freedom right now. Get up. Find someone around you. Let's make sure everyone has at least one person with a hand on their shoulder or on top of their head. At least one person. We are the body of Christ. The body ministers to each other. Don't wait for me to pray. You can start praying for them now. Pray for healing. Healing. Father, bring your healing power now across this room. We are standing in faith. Complete restoration. Complete release from sickness. Complete a release from disease. Father, knees, pain in the knee, gone now. Gone now in Jesus' name. Lower back, strengthened. Back pain, gone. Gone. Father, somebody has a neck issue that's causing headaches right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, heal that head, heal that neck. No more headaches. In Jesus' name, be released. Be released. Yes. Yes. More. 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 In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Your spirit, your spirit, your spirit. Now minister your peace. Minister peace and joy. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you for ministering your life today. Thank you, Father, that you still move. You are here today. And I am praying that you will continue that work that you have begun this morning. You who have started a good work are faithful to complete it. Do it through your sons and daughters now. Through your sons and daughters now, to the glory of your name. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this time in your presence this morning. Thank you for the ministry of your Spirit. Thank you so much for these men and women that have responded to you today. Thank you for how you have ministered your life to each one. Bless them, encourage them, build them in you. Even more and more. That the joy of the Lord, your joy, is their strength. Bless this congregation. Help them continue to be a light in this city, in this region, and beyond. Bless them. Bless Pastor Craig and Rebecca. Bless their staff. Encourage them. I pray even this morning for a fresh Father, a fresh anointing and renewal in and through them. Even now. Now. Every part of their staff full to overflowing. Now. And greater unity in this church as never before. Greater unity, greater unity, greater unity as you move and work to the glory of your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We give you praise and we honor you. In Jesus' name.